go out because
joy to work? Never.
No, I just don't remember these things. It didn't do my reminder thing today for the my calendar thing didn't go off. So I was like, wait, it is today. Because we didn't do it last week.
Today. Do you need to watch a tutorial about how to set reminders? Because I feel like yours never go off.
Look, bitch, they've actually been going off very well. Except for this one. Yeah. But.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe because this one was changed and you didn't.
Oh, and then I didn't like turn it on or whatever.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. All right. We'll allow it, I guess.
Okay.
You're going to pass this time. Mostly because it's my fault.
It's not your fault. It's just.
I'm blaming it on the Olympics.
Oh my God, the Olympics. I've been watching Simone Biles.
Incredible. Like, Anna, what's your name? I don't know. The other girls, too. The other girls are great, too. The one that has that cool floor routine to like Beyonce.
Oh, I forgot her name. Oh my God.
Jordan Childs? Jordan Childs, I think, yes. And then the one that was really good on the beam. I can't remember her name now.
I watched a lot of Spidey and His Friends this weekend. And
what is that?
Christmas 2.5 times.
Oh my God.
It's like baby Spider-Man. It's three Spider-Mans. So it's Spider-Man, Miles Morales, and Gwen Stacy. And they're all like children Spider-Men.
That's so cute.
Gwen Stacy is Ghost Spider. And then there's Spidey. And because they're both Spider-Man, so Peter Parker is Spidey and Miles Morales is Spin.
That's so cute.
They fight Gobby, who is the Green Goblin.
I need to watch this. This sounds adorable.
It
kind
of sounds like when they made that show Muppet Babies. It was just Muppets.
But yes.
Like, I love Muppet Babies.
Loved Muppet Babies.
I love baby versions of things.
Theme song is by Fall Out Boy, and it's like awesome.
Cute. What?
Yeah. It's fun. So I have a lot of Olympics to catch up on after watching my niece and nephew all weekend. So
what sports do you watch when you watch it?
I like to watch gymnastics and swimming and volleyball.
Yeah.
And then I'll probably tune in to watch what's her face run.
Oh, Sha'Carri Richardson?
Sha'Carri.
Yes.
Love her. I'm so excited.
I like to watch the men's volleyball.
I wonder for reasons.
Wait, beach or court?
Court. I've been following them on TikTok. I've been following what's her name? Alona Mar since the last Olympics. She's the rugby player. She's very cool.
Love her.
Love her so much. So I do want to watch at least a little bit of them.
I saw her knock someone out, and I was like, yes.
I saw that clip. She put her hand out.
Whack. Onto
the
floor.
It was like magic.
Honestly, why nobody told me about rugby when I was in, like, junior high or high school, that would have solved a lot of problems for me.
Yeah,
I could have taken all my energy out on that. Like, damn it. Why didn't I play rugby?
You would be broken.
I would be, but I would also break people, so it's fine. But I would be broken, like, better.
I wonder if you're like, not that, you know, being violent is the right answer, but I wonder if you getting that out of your system would have like helped.
Would have helped? Probably.
Yeah.
Probably. A healthy way to take out your anger would probably be good for me. So I wouldn't be like this.
I mean,
now.
It's better than arson, you know.
So. Oh, yeah, yeah. But we don't talk about that. One.
I watch all the same sports, and this is the only time I care about sports. And the only time I care about
love sports.
USA, USA, USA.
Yeah.
The only time I care. But the opening ceremony was amazing. Yeah.
That was
like,
wild.
I've not been paying attention. I didn't know they were going to be on the water. Love the boats.
Mm-hmm.
I love the whole like art and culture infused in through the whole thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, like Lady Gaga, she's not French, but whatever, she's great. And then Celine Dion.
Oh my God, bitch. Sobbing.
I knew she was coming out because people wouldn't shut up about it. But, like, I was not ready for the tears that were coming when she was singing. Yeah. Like, it was...
Yeah, I didn't get to see any of that, so...
Have you watched the documentary?
App. Yeah, yeah.
I have not.
I need to watch the documentary.
I feel like I will cry just the time.
I've seen a few clips.
Same.
On social media, and it's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I did see the clip of her. She was like, "I will sing again. It will happen." And around whenever after the performance, and I was like, "Oh my god, she's there." It was just so magical. She looked beautiful. The sky, she was floating like an angel. Like, it was just the whole thing. Like,
mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Phenomenal.
Yeah. Yeah. Amazing.
Well, hello, everyone. We've made it to the end of our 2010 Oscar Woo! Rewind series. I'm your host, Anna.
I'm Crystal.
And I'm Joy.
Wrapping up our conversations about the Best Picture nominees from 14 years ago is our discussion on the groundbreaking The Hurt Locker. Nominated for 9 Golden Statues, winning Best Picture, along with Best Director for Kathryn Bigelow, Original Screenplay for Mark Boal, Original Score for Mark Beltrami and Buck Sanders, Sound Mixing, Paul N.J. Audison and Ray Beckett, Sound Editing for Paul N.J. Audison. Was also nominated for Lead Actor for Jeremy Renner, Cinematography for Barry Aykroyd, and Film Editing for Bob Murawski and Chris Ennis. Set during the Iraq War, a sergeant recently assigned to an army bomb squad is put at odds with his squad mates due to his maverick way of handling his work. Taking home 6 of those 9 nominations, this is The Hurt Locker. Did it, Joe. We made it to the end. We're here, baby.
Oh my god. Can you believe?
Can you believe? Joy, this is a little bit of deja vu all over again for you with this movie. Yeah.
I know. I've told the story on here before, but what was it? The year before?
For Zero Dark Thirty.
I meant to watch Zero Dark Thirty, which is weird because I don't normally watch the war movies. And for some reason, I went to Netflix for Zero Dark Thirty. And I got about 30-ish minutes in. And I was like, where the fuck is Jessica Chastain? Turns out I was watching The Hurt Locker. So that's just me. I was like wait, these are not the people they weren't in this movie. I was like, Anthony Mackie, oh cool, oh no, he's not supposed to be in this movie.
Wrong movie.
Yeah
My bad.
Crystal, had you seen this before?
Yes, I saw it. This was when I was like pretty like watching the nominees consistently, well, trying to as much as I could, well, as much as they were available to me, because back in the day they weren't right. As easy to get to, but yeah, I'd seen this and I don't really know what thoughts I had on it at the time, whether it was good, bad, whatever. I was just like, that was a movie and I watched it, like that's what I thought. And I feel like watching it now, my thought is, why did this win so many awards? Like, so many.
Controversial.
Like,
yeah.
I know war movies are like pretty, you know,
Oscar standard
for Oscar fare, right? But that many awards, that many nominations, I just, the bar was so low back then. Like, mid. Like, I was just like, I don't understand. And then, having seen Zero Dark Thirty already, I was like, wow, she clearly needed to make this movie to get that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because I understand the magnitude of Kathryn Bigelow winning, because that is a big deal. Mm-hmm. And I'm proud of her for it. But at the same time, it's like, I hate that it's for this movie. But, you know, I don't know. But then she hasn't done anything else. Like, where's she at?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Did she just win and then disappear?
Well, she did Zero Dark Thirty and then disappeared.
I understand what this the this movie was trying to do. You know, war is a drug. You know, this war is a unique place where men can be vulnerable, but also very masculine. And there's this great dichotomy there. But I just, like, I felt like this movie missed the mark a lot of times, and I felt bored. There was some great tension in some spots, but also I was just bored a lot of the time.
Like that first, the quote at the very beginning where it's like, the rush of battle is often a potent and lethal addiction, for war is a drug. That's mm-hmm. great. Great way to start that off. But then they don't really, like, build on that. They just say, like, oh, this is terrible. Not enough for me, I guess. I wanted more of it. It wasn't enough.
Yeah.
Because I'd make that quote by Chris Hedges. I don't know who that is, but good job.
He's my best friend. How dare you?
I think that's an interesting way to open a film, and like an interesting like opening statement. But I don't ever think it. I felt like it didn't ever live up to that statement to me.
The way it did for me was, you know, especially with Jeremy Renner's character, when we see him go back home, we see him missing being in Iraq. We see him, like, jonesing for being important, where decisions are life and death, where things are so heightened that when he gets to the cereal aisle and he's looking at all of those cereals, he's just,
that's like, a great scene, actually.
There's no fucking point in which kind of cereal I get. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
People are dying from bombs. So I saw it a lot there, and I saw it a lot in, you know, that also wonderful scene with Anthony Mackie where he breaks down and he's like, I want a son, and I want more than this. I don't know. I think war movies have such a unique opportunity to push the envelope with men being vulnerable with each other, and they always just tiptoe to it.
Because they're scared to
that line, and we're supposed to be like, oh, we see it, we understand it, but we don't explore it.
Yeah, and that's such a beautiful way to tell a story. Like, this situation, like, I think they, what is the their other guy, like his partner, he clearly was not mentally stable to be there, and he needed to get out. It was very clear. Elaborate more on that, like, you know, or how he convinced his therapist to come out with them and ends up getting killed. Like, I don't know. There's, like you said, there's so many great opportunities for them to delve into those emotions and what it means in the complicated situation of, like, wanting to, you know, be honorable for the country, but also, like, it's very traumatic. And, like, we've talked about this before, how, like, humans aren't meant to be in those situations. They're not, you know, but they're doing it because they want to feel like they accomplished something. I don't know. Like, you're right. Like, there's just not enough with these movies.
Why am I drawing a huge blank on the name of the movie from, was it last year, 2 years ago?
America's
Sniper. I read the book. I read that one. That was terrible. I really loved it. I gave it 5 stars. But the movie was terrible.
I don't know.
It's an old book adaptation. Hold on. I'm pulling it up.
All Quiet on the Western Front.
All Quiet on the Western Front. There you go. Watching this movie, I kept thinking back to that and how beautiful that part is, that I think I even read it on the podcast about the vulnerability and how these men are, as they know each other as intimately as lovers do. And I just, like, I want that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't obviously want them to be lovers and for it to be like a romantic thing, although, yes, I do.
Whatever. I mean,
yes, I do.
I'm sure that also,
if that's part of the story, sure, why not? You know,
it happens.
It does happen.
I'm sure it happens. But I want that intimacy explored in a war movie. Like, I would be fine if that was an entire movie and we never really saw battle.
Battle, yeah.
We just saw them before and after, and we never got to see the blood and the guts and the explosions. We just saw the repercussions of it and how they lean on each other and how they build off each other. And, like, that's what I want in a war movie.
There's, like, we had a lot of problems with American Sniper, to be fair. But, like, that movie had another great opportunity to show, like, what it was like. Because he got killed by Chris Cogle, right. By a former, I guess, another military
veteran.
Man.
Yeah.
Another veteran, sorry, yeah. And, like, that would have been a great conversation to have, like, you can come home to one or two different ways. Or more than one way, I guess. Mm-hmm. And this is what happens if you don't bury yourself. Like, I feel like it's almost dangerous when you don't talk about it. Because then you're saying, like, oh, it doesn't matter. Oh, it'll be fine. Like, you'll eventually be okay.
You'll just
go back to war. You'll be okay if you, like, to scratch that itch, if you will. I feel like those movies like this do more damage than good to me. Because people, especially America, does not want to watch a movie about the military where they're not, like, the best, I feel. Mm-hmm. They're too afraid to open up the emotions of that.
Mm-hmm. We want to see the successful missions. We want to see us winning and heroes, and we don't want to see the bad side of it.
Yeah,
which is the reality of it too, because like I mean, it's the same thing. Like all the veterans that came back from that war, like so many of them are disabled and like waiting in long lines at like the vet hospitals, whatever, to get treatment and stuff, and like nobody cares about them nobody cares about them once they leave. Like they only care about what use they're for the mm-hmm. American military. So
and
like,
that's why they don't want to talk about it, because they don't want to shine the light. Because
then they have to face
them.
That.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you know how it's not just them, you know, it's not just the PTSD and the injuries or whatever. It's, you know, years later we're discovering that the burn pits that they had are now causing them like intense cancer.
Yeah.
So like even the guys who came home and were like, fine. 10 years later, they're like, oh, shit, I have this awful cancer because I mm-hmm. spent so much of my time in a burn pit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
You know what movie War. I think did this better that I remember bits and pieces of it now. I watched it so long ago. And I know everybody talks about it, but, like, Saving Private Ryan is one of those where, like, it was really about the relationships between the soldiers and like how far they're willing to go for each other and like the commitment that they have to each other. And even I think in the end, like the guilt that they feel like, oh, okay, like I made it and they didn't make it. And like, mm-hmm. look at me, here I am with my entire family and they didn't get a chance to get out of there. I think Steven Spielberg is good at telling like fully fleshed out stories. And so I think in his hands it was really well done, and that's one that keeps that is brought up a lot over time, because it just really is like such a staple and not just being like a basic like super propaganda-y war movie.
Crystal, is yours do you have something serious to say about Saving Private Ryan?
Why did you ask me that?
Because she's going to say something silly.
Mine's a little silly goofy, so I want to get...
God. Well, mine's not silly. Okay, well, maybe it's maybe both, so I'll go. I've actually never seen that movie, but kind of I have, because when I was going to church, I used to have a series that I actually really enjoyed, but I like movies, that they would show a movie during service, but in between the movie, they would, like, show a scene or two or whatever, and then cut... It would be intercut with, like, the pastor giving, a part of a sermon of like how it relates to God and blah 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 blah. So I've seen Saving Private Ryan that way. So I kind of know what happens, but not really. So that's, I guess maybe it's not funny or silly, but that a tidbit.
Two things. I had no idea until like the last year or so that Private Ryan was Matt Damon.
Yeah.
Two, I have never seen this movie, but when I was in eighth grade, I was going through a medical issue and I was trying medicines to help. And one medicine made me so incredibly sleepy. I slept for like, until my body acclimated to it, I slept for like a week. And I could barely stay awake for anything. I was asleep through school. I slept through everything. So I remember falling asleep in class and one of my teachers being like, okay, you got to go to the nurse. And my friend was like, she can't help it. Like, just let her sleep. It was around Easter time. because as Catholics, you have Holy Week. So you go Sunday, and then the next Thursday, Friday, Sunday. It's a lot of church. I slept through all of it. But during that week, I remember my parents trying to watch two movies with us, one of them being The Passion of the Christ. My dad was like, I think you guys are all old enough and we can sit down and watch it as a family and, like, talk about it. They put it on. I immediately fell asleep. I woke up, saw something that felt like a fever dream, and I was like, no. I went back to sleep. Turns out what I saw was real, and so I was like, I'm glad I didn't watch this movie. Still have not seen it.
Don't watch it.
I have no interest in it. The other was Saving Private Ryan, and if you know Saving Private Ryan, the first 20 minutes are kind of famous for how brutal and gory and just terrible they are. I start the movie. I immediately fall asleep. I wake up. I see a guy on the beach holding his intestines in his hands. And I was like, back to sleep. Mm-hmm. That is all I've seen of that movie.
Oh, wow.
That is the road move.
I was like, I think I'm okay. I'm going to let this medicine take me back out.
I saw The Passion of the Christ in the theater. And I don't, like, I know that story because at that point I had read the Bible enough to know. But, like, I was just, like, it was just so violent. Mm-hmm. And, like, the excuse was, like, it's a white kid, so you can watch it. Because, like, this really happened. Like.
And it's Jesus.
How old were you?
And, like, whatever year that came out, I don't know. What year did it come out?
2005, 2006?
No, was earlier than that.
I was younger.
It was like 2001, maybe.
Oh, I'm thinking about when I watched it. Sorry.
Oh, no. It's not about you, Anna, okay? How old are you when I watched it? I don't know about that.
It was 2004.
It was?
I wasn't off that much, bitch. It feels way early.
It feels way earlier because I feel like I was a child when I saw, which I was. I was like 11, 12, so.
It was 2004. I feel like I was at, like, a little baby. Well,
I thought I was a baby too. I mean, I was, but
I was 17.
Girl, I don't even want to be an adult and watch that movie. Like, that movie is fucking traumatizing.
Like, when I watch something and someone is getting hurt, like, so that entire movie,
I don't know how you made it through that movie other than being forced to watch
because
it.
Because I felt like I had to, because
that's what I mean.
He was hurting, so I can watch it. I'm not being hurt. I'm just, you know wow. The weird justification. You know,
yes,
the weird
yes.
The weird justifications you make for certain things. And then also, religion. Like, I didn't go by myself. Like, I went with people. And I love how on Google it says Passion of the Christ. It's labeled as an indie drama.
That's not what it is.
Yeah, it says drama, God. Indie film.
What a mess that is. I actually, you know what they did for us? I think it was around Easter, they played it at church and everybody had to watch it at church together. And I was like, wow, if that isn't some indoctrinating shit, well,
they do that now with all those faith-based films. They still do that. Yeah.
But that movie was like on another level. That is like so graphic and like so gory and just so like literally skin crawling. Like it's,
I think,
horrific.
Other than that, I remember the scene of when he's walking through the city and he's, you know, carrying the cross. Mm. And they're all like, you know.
Boo.
Yeah, they're all like, he's like Cersei going through Westeros or whatever.
Oh,
or
King's Landing. Shame. Her walk of shame.
Shame. Yeah. There's Mary there and she sees him and it flashes to like her remembering him as a little boy. And I was like, oh, it didn't even like occur to me that she's watching her like her son that she raised, like, and that like shook me to my, yeah. Anyways, whatever.
That movie is too much. That movie is too much. I should not have been allowed to see that at the age that I me was. Either. That was traumatizing.
I was 17.
No,
I was
thank you.
Young, I think.
No, that's so.
The only part I remember was waking up and seeing witches and a snake.
Yeah, that too.
And
that
I was
shit
like,
fucked me up.
No, thank you.
Because, like,
this is way off topic, but I think I reached peak witch this weekend.
What does that mean?
What?
I took my niece to her swim lesson, and I'm sitting in the little place watching her, and this boy comes from around the corner, must be 7 or 8, maybe 9. He looks at me, his eyes get so big, and his whole body starts shaking. He goes, I'll be back, and runs away in fear. And I was like, okay.
What? Anna, what did you do?
I'm literally sitting there on my phone.
Were you wearing something witchy? Maybe there was a ghost behind you.
Maybe. I mean, I was sitting up against the window to the outside.
I mean, I know you're really pale, but you're not an actual ghost, so why was he so scared of you?
Girl, I don't know, but I was like, I have come into my witchy powers. I am.
Oh my god.
That's wow.
Wild.
That is really crazy.
Hilarious. Sorry. Way off.
No, yeah, that was.
Anyway, Passion of the Christ, back to the Hurt Locker, back to shit. Like, we shouldn't really have to see.
So this movie, right. So this movie is interesting to me. Like, like you said before, Joy, like, I also am trying more and more to think of this in the lens of when it came out.
Yeah.
And I can understand how, quote unquote, groundbreaking it was, how raw it felt. Because this was like early, because the shaky cam was too much for me, honestly. But it felt like it was shot like early reality shows were shot. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And this was what, 2000?
9 when they filmed it.
That feels yeah, correct timeline right. wise.
Yeah.
So I was like, why does this feel familiar, but also I hate it? And I was like, oh, this is all reality show feel. That's what it was.
Like chasing them through hallways and shit. Exactly. Yeah.
I saw a lot of people on Letterboxd compare it. They say, like, this is The Office goes to war.
What?
Because, like, the shaky cam felt so much like The Office, well, apparently.
There's not a lot of shaky cam in The Office, but I see what they're saying. It's more like they would do the shaky cam a lot and, like, I'm thinking of, like, Punked when they would, like...
Oh, my God.
Like, chase thing. After them.
Yeah. Or just
the Hurt Locker, like, and Punked. Okay.
Just reality shows. It was
Ashton that
was
Kutcher. The, where that are was, you?
That was the thing. They wanted to be raw in your face and real and like no. Mm-hmm. Like, and so this actually feels like of the time. I don't remember what I was going to say.
Shaky cam.
Yeah. Just felt very early reality show style that they were going for.
I really appreciated that moment where Jeremy Renner is going to disable the bomb and then he discovers there's all the other bombs. Like, he pulls the string or whatever. That was a great shot. That was a great shot. But I also appreciated the, like, horror music that was scoring it. I thought that was a brilliant choice and it really made the moment very tense.
Another thing, too, that they never... Yeah, the intensity of that scene, like... Yeah, really good. There's a reason they use that shot, that bird's eye view and everything, because it's so good. Another thing that they don't ever really bring up in these movies is, like, why these people are fighting back American troops. Like, you know, mm-hmm. what circumstances they're in and what they have to do to survive. And it's just kind of, like, mm-hmm. it's very, like, good and bad. America good, other country bad. Like, it just feels very cut and dry, and that's not what that is, ever. Like, it's not... And again, go back to these do more harm than good. Like, this, it's not like, yeah, maybe he put those bombs out there, but, like, do you know his backstory? You know what he's been through? Do you know mm-hmm. these people where the foreigners are in his land? Like, it's not, like.
That would be an interesting story to see of a normal Iraq family, you know, what their lives became post 9/11.
I don't know if there's a lot of media about it, but the one I'm thinking about is if you ever watched a show called Rami, his family came to New Jersey, in the show, came to New Jersey around the time when all stuff was happening because they wanted to get away. And so he has like an episode of him as a kid remembering what it was like to go to school around like 9/11. Like,
ooh.
He was like not understanding why all of a sudden he was like getting hate, because he was like, what did I do? Like, I'm a nerd. Like, I don't have any friends. Like, I just read books. Like, it's very good episode. That show was really good anyway. But it's a really good, like, like internal episode of like how I was feeling and what it felt to like, because he was like, but that person, like, that's my country, those are my people, but yet they're bad, so like, am I bad, like, are we bad people, like, yeah, it's a really, he has a lot of interesting questions in that show.
And you know what, I'm sure that there actually is plenty of films from those countries, we just don't see them over here, or they're just not promoted over here, or they end up like drowned in the foreign film category of the Oscars. But I probably that's something I'd be more interested in watching than this. I'll see if I can find some.
I also really thought the shot of the slow motion explosion in the beginning was really beautiful.
Like Guy Pearce is running.
Yeah, and it's, you see everything like shake and then start to go slow-mo. I thought that was really nice.
I liked the shot of Jeremy Renner's eye when he's like with the fly like flies into his face and he's like still like a stone, like, oh, that close up was really, really good.
That whole scene was really great, I thought. Of Anthony Mackie like not moving, like always having his eye.
Mm-hmm.
That was intense and good.
Being able to shoot from that far is crazy. Not that I want to try, I'm just saying, like, I can barely see sometimes. I'm like,
Yeah, you would not be a marksman in the military.
That's fine. Not even in the slightest. I'm too lucky for that. I'd be like Ernest Goes to War or something. That'd be me.
What?
Ernest, you know who Ernest is? Oh my god, I feel so old. Oh my god. Ernest is like this like bumbling idiot, but he's like lovely. He's kind of like US's Mr. Bean.
Oh.
And he's like the epitome of his name.
He's earnest. He's just a good guy.
He's just a guy.
He just tries things and, you know, he's just flumble. Like, he's basically Mr. Bean. But I think he talks. Yeah, he talks. He's got a country accent, I think.
Of course.
Yeah, I've watched a lot of his movies growing up. Yeah, it'd be like Ernest Goes to War. That'd be me. So a lot of things about this movie I didn't like. But the one that I was like, what? Was when, first of all, that whole story with the little boy, with Jeremy Renner and the little boy.
I literally wrote, if the kid dies, I riot. And then two notes later, Beckham, riot.
Before that, he threatens to shoot his head off as a joke. I said, What? I was like, Jim Halpert staring at the camera like, did he just say that? Like, are you joking me? And then he dies and I'm like, I didn't watch any of that because like, I don't want to watch that. I don't want to see. It was awful. He was the bomb in his body. Like, No.
Wait, there was a bomb in his body?
They put a bomb in him. And he's like, I don't know, like 13 or something. He's just selling stuff on the street, you know, trying to sell DVDs. And Jeremy Renner buys one. And then later on, he plays soccer with him or something. And then he's like, okay, I'm going to bet you money. And if you beat me, I'm going to chop your head off. Just kidding. Ha, 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 ha. Like, that's, he literally says that to him. And then when it happens later, I was like, Jeremy Renner, you did this. This is your fault.
What a bitch.
Blood on your hands. Literally. Got myself. I have this note that says men are gross. But that could be, like, for a lot of things.
That so could be know. All of it. That could be anything.
I don't know.
Probably them wrestling and fighting after they got back from that.
Probably. I don't know.
Or they were stranded out there.
Let's see. I wonder how hot it gets in those suits. Because they're already in the desert.
They're already in the desert. No. They're probably, they have to drink a lot of water to not get like dehydrated in there.
Ooh. That's awful. Shot of the fly. What else did I say? Also in the same scene where he's the fly in his eye, there's a shot after he takes a shot that the bullet casing falling to the ground very slowly. Mm-hmm. That was really good. I have a note that says, no, put your shirt back on.
Is that Jeremy Renner probably?
I'm almost positive, yes. I did like, so, you know, the boy, they find the boy in the bomb and he has to disarm it. And then he carries him to, I'm not sure who he carries him to. I guess so they can, you know, properly bury him. And he gets upset because he wants, you know, revenge for this young boy. Because he all of a sudden, like, I'm going to get them. And so they follow Manthi Mackey and the other guy. I forgot his name. They follow, like, Jeremy Renner to go, like, seek revenge. Because he wants to find out where the little boy lives. So he can, like, I don't know, tell them something. I don't know. I was like, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing? This cannot end well. They go into the city and, like, not just on their own. I was like, he's gonna get one of them killed or shot, and then it happens. I was like, well, what did I just say?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like I understand he was upset, but like, I don't know. I've said before that like military movies, things like this, don't vibe with me at all. So like, I almost instantly just don't care. Like my interest just turned off. So I was fighting so hard to like pay attention and just like really engage, because I was like, I don't care.
Same. But yeah, I think that's another, you know, war is a drug moment where he was like,
yeah,
I have the ability to go and do this. I have the power. I think that's also these men get on a power trip over there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he was like, and I have power over these two guys who are going to do what I want to do. So we're going to go and do what I want to do. And then he's, oh, there's consequences to my actions.
No surprise.
But also I was like, oh, thank God that guy's getting out of there.
Yeah. And I'm happy that he was like, he was nice to Anthony Mackie. And he was like, you did this to me. Fuck you, Jared. Like whatever his name is in the movie. I forgot.
Yeah.
He was like, yeah, fuck you, Jeremy Renner. I love you, man. To Anthony Mackie. Love you, dude. Fuck you, Jeremy. And then he like goes off in the helicopter. And I was like, that's right.
Same.
yeah, because that was reckless. He's putting someone else's life in life for no reason. Like, and Anthony Mackie's like, we're going to go with you because we're a team. But this is a dumb idea. And then he goes into, like, that person's house. What was his end game there? Like, what are you doing? Also, I love how the woman in the house was like, get out of here. And she like hit him with her purse or something. And I was like, yes, exactly.
Yeah, that felt like a side tangent that didn't need to happen.
Exactly. What is he doing?
Because nothing came of it. Like, if exactly. He had found some underground, like, this is where they're making the bombs, or this is where they're, you know, recruiting children or something, then, yeah. Okay, maybe it would mean something. But he literally just went on a little spy mission, got
a side quest,
kicked out of a house. Yeah, he went on a side quest with no point, and nothing came from it.
And the owner of the house, the gentleman, was like really nice to him, but I thought he's probably nice because this happens all the time. He knows how to handle it, and I got like real upset about that.
Yeah,
I just kept thinking like other things. I was watching it, and I was like, I'm just getting more mad. Like, I'm getting heated. I don't like it.
Yeah,
one of my notes is, it sounded like he said camisa, and I don't know what that was about.
Who knows? One of my notes is Ralph Fiennes
was in this?
I forgot he was in this movie. He gets killed like almost instantly. But yeah. Scene.
Yeah. Also, he's there. They introduced some colonel or whatever. Colonel Reed. David Morse?
Sure.
You would know his face if you saw him. I felt like he was going to have a bigger part and be kind of like a villain. And then he had nothing to do with this movie.
He should have been Colonel Sanders. That should have been him. David Morse, you said?
David Morse? Morse?
Oh, he was in this? Where?
Which one? Yeah, he was some big bad colonel who came and was like Southern. Yeah, he was in it for a few minutes.
I must have missed that completely. He was the governor in The Walking Dead. That's where I know him from. What? How did I miss? The governor?
Wait, was it? No, was
David Morse, right? That's what you said?
Morse?
Oh.
Morse?
I think it said Morrissey.
No, not.
I'm sorry.
No. I said Morsi because I didn't know if like the E is like a thing.
Okay.
But M-O-R-S-E.
Yes.
Different guy.
Oh, yeah.
He's done a lot of shit.
He's on House.
Yeah. He was in that Disturbia movie with Shia LaBeouf.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
That I loved, actually.
Great movie.
Funny. That was back when I had like a huge crush on him. Oof.
We all did at that point. But also the guy who played the therapist, he was in season one of Dexter, and so I always see him as that character. I'm like, that's serial killer Dexter's brother. Very good. Very good.
One of my notes is, this is how Anthony Mackie is to his fans in real life. Oh, in the beginning when the little boy is like, hey, you want to buy a DVD? He's like, no, thank you. No. He keeps walking. I was like, that's how he's in real life. Anthony Mackie. And Anthony Mackie punches him in the face. Jeremy Renner in the face.
Oh, that was the best part. I rewatched that clip over and over. I was like, yeah, do it again.
Why?
In the chat.
I mean, obviously, I remember the cringe Jeremy Renner where he like tried to do music and have an app or whatever.
Oh my God, you're right.
He tried to do an app? I didn't know about that. I
forgot about that. Yeah.
But yeah, he tried to have
music
like
music fans though.
Yeah. But like, where did this animosity? Is that where the animosity for him comes from?
No, he like legit did some bad stuff.
Okay.
No, he was like terrible. No, he was terrible to like his kids or wife, like abusive to them. That's what it is.
Like legit some bad stuff. So
I don't exactly know what it was. But then he almost died and I was forgiven basically. Because he was in like a ski accident and almost died.
Right.
Recovery, blah, blah, blah.
So most people got over it.
Pretty much no one talks about it now because he almost died and now I guess his sins are clear. I'm not really sure.
Yeah, now he has a show on Disney Plus.
What show?
Something about
it's
him,
like building.
I don't know if it's like architecture or nature or both or some random documentary-ish style show.
Interesting. Although Hawkeye, the show, is actually really good because it doesn't even focus
Haley
on
Steinfeld.
It focuses on Haley Steinfeld.
Mm-hmm. This
it's
is so cute.
It's a Christmas show, so it's about like it's set in New York in Christmas time, so it's very festive.
So cute.
Also, the scenes between Haley Steinfeld and Florence Pugh are magical.
Magical. Delicious.
So just watch it for those two.
Yeah.
I mean, it's worth it for those two, really.
And also, that's like the closest they got to Hawkeye's actual character than in any other movie. Mm-hmm. That's the only time he was actually like Hawkeye of the comics.
Also, in the show, they have a Broadway musical of the Avengers. And it's so funny.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. I could do this all day. Yeah, that's great.
I need to look up who performed that and see if I know
it. Oh, I'm sure you know.
Oh, you probably do. Oh my God.
I think the performance is on YouTube or something.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Do you want to finish up our thoughts and move on to wrapping this up?
Let me see. Because, yeah, I feel like there's really not much to say, honestly. There's not a lot of depth to the movie. So there's really no, like, deep dives to go into it. It was a movie and now it's over, you know. Situation.
Damn. That it happened.
Yeah, it this happened, is a movie
and we watched it and thank you, good night.
Because yeah, all my notes, I think I said them. This guy's not stable. How hot is it in that suit?
Hot.
The so shot hot. Of the fly on his eye. Let's see. I'm pretty sure Brock kind of gross. Another one. I guess when they're walking through that city and they're all like silent to go look for the boy or whatever, I liked that. They're really good at communicating through silence. Like, I don't know. I know they do that anyway.
Nonverbal
like,
communication.
But the way it was executed and shot was really good. I bet he feels bad because his doctor died. Yikes.
Whose doctor was it?
It was the therapist of the third man in that group who was clearly very unstable. And he needed to get out of it.
Oh, yes.
And even the therapist was like, just don't think about it. He basically told him, like, you're fine. It's going to be okay.
You know what I feel? That, like, in war settings, it's basically, like, not counterproductive, but, like, how much can you really help them when they're going through this incredibly difficult situations? Like,
Well, you remove them from there.
Mm-hmm.
Because there here's why. Not only are they mentally unstable, but they're it's dangerous because if they slip on something, someone else could die.
Exactly.
And like when they are in that scene later on with when they're it's Jeremy Renner and with the fly and all that. The other guy's kind of like holding watch, but he sees things and he's like slow to react. That's dangerous.
Yeah.
It's
like it's okay. I don't know. The whole, like, I'm a man. I can't. I gotta do it. Like, it's, I just, I hate it.
But that's so, like, that's so counterintuitive to everything that the military stands for, basically. So, it's like, and not, never, it's like it's not gonna click because one thing stands for something and you can't take that out of it without taking apart the whole thing.
And they're never gonna show a situation where the military is the villain, like, for real.
Right.
Yeah,
because,
they'll say it
because
like,
then that's anti-war and that's not what they want to put out.
And it's anti-America, you know.
So we'll never truly get a really good war movie out of America because they're too scared and not brave enough to tell that story.
That is a really really good point, and I am going to really try now to find hopefully not like a war movie, but a war movie from the perspective of non-Americans.
Well, even if it is war, you can give it to one of us and we'll watch it, like, that way you don't have to like
because like I would be more interested to see like the psychology of that versus like boom,
especially because like the Iraq war, like 2004 I was a teenager, so a lot of this feels so like last year to me, you know what I mean? It feels
right, like so close,
not
to
that
home.
Long ago. And maybe like, I think about the kids now, like, probably watch this, like, we watch World War One movies or something. You know what I mean? Like, they look at it so differently. But, like, to me, that does not feel that long ago.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's like recent history.
Yeah.
Contemporary.
Also wrote, mushrooms and now a clown? Oh, my God. What was that about?
Was someone eating mushrooms?
Oh, in the store. There was mushrooms. And I was like, and the next scene, there was, like, a clown, like, Monito. And I was like, oh, my God. So... I think those are all my notes.
Same. Let's go through some categories.
Okay.
Okay, so we have finished up everything.
Yeah! We did it!
So,
Loisimos.
So, best picture.
No!
No!
What? You don't like it?
And you know what? Like, it doesn't, you know, what? It doesn't make a difference who directed it. It's not good.
Yeah, because it wasn't written that well, honestly. I don't think it was anyway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't find anything extraordinary about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think also, like we said before, like, because these movies probably won't get greenlit or champion if they're not saying what America wants it to say,
right,
is that that's not Catherine Bigelow's fault necessarily,
right,
but at the same time, I don't know, I don't want it to be here, but I think Zero Dark Thirty is a better movie, not by much though, but I think it is a better movie, so I'm glad that she did this so she could do that, you know.
I'd take this one over Zero Dark Thirty because I don't want to see the torture scenes again.
Oh, that's fair. But I feel like that just overall narrative is a better movie.
Sure.
Because Jessica Ding, and she has a purpose. She has a mission. She's just nicer to look at than Jeremy. Quite frankly.
Oh, my God.
She's just better to look at. That's it.
Fair. Okay. Directing.
Ooh. Yeah. Again, I love that she won. Because, you know.
So, it was Avatar for James Cameron, Hurt Locker, Catherine Bigelow, Inglourious Basterds, Quentin Tarantino, Up in the Air, Jason Reitman, and Precious Lee Daniels.
I cannot believe I'm going to say this.
I'm going to say the same thing.
Same.
It should have been. That he should have won. And I cannot believe it.
Tarantula.
Oh my God. I can't believe we got to this point in the Oscars where, like, there's actually proof of him being a good director, a good artist.
I don't want to quit.
This is it. This is like pigs are flying.
Pigs are currently flying. Yes, you're right.
I can't believe this. But you know what? I don't I don't love to be proven wrong, but I do love to see art that proves me wrong. So
that's fair.
So at least it was like, it was good. It was good. And comparatively to the rest of them, like.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I would make a case for James Cameron. But right. I'm going to pick a spouse in the relationship. It's going to be Kevin Bigelow. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Yeah.
But yeah, Quentin Tarantino, like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's going to haunt us for
a while. I don't even know what to say. Like, I'm flabbergasted at myself.
That's amazing.
Okay, let's look at lead actor. We have Morgan Freeman in Invictus, Jeff Bridges in Crazy Heart, George Clooney in Up in the Air, Colin Firth in A Single Man, and Jeremy Renner in The Hurt Locker.
Shit, I forgot to watch A Single Man.
Colin Firth.
Yeah, Colin Firth is the clear winner.
From what I remember, in 2010, shade Colin Jeff Firth. Bridges.
I didn't see Crazy Heart. But Single Man. Sensation. Jeremy Renner should be here, honestly. Get him out of here.
No, I don't think he deserved the nomination either.
No!
If anyone should have been nominated, I think it should have been Anthony Mackie for supporting.
Thank you very much. Right.
Mm-hmm.
That monologue alone was enough for me. But I think he was also just a great foil throughout the entire movie.
Also, even in the way I should have mentioned before, but there's that scene where they're brushing their teeth and he's like, we got to talk about what happened yesterday.
Yes.
Like, just the way he's looking at Juilliard deep. Beautiful.
You know what? Many a nomination have been given for lesser monologues than this. So sure.
Girl.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Okay. Writing original screenplay. We have The Hurt Locker, Inglourious Basterds, A Serious Man, Up, and The Messenger.
No.
No, no, no.
If I'm going original screenplay, oh my god, son of a bitch.
Again, A Serious Man. No, wait, A Serious Man. I keep thinking
A Serious Man is good, but I feel like the complexities of Inglourious Basterds is more dynamic. There's more meat on those bones because A Serious Man is like, oh wait, I'm getting confused. Single Man again. Serious Man, no, get it out of here. Single Man, yay. But I think that's an adaptation, so that's different. Maybe up. Anything with the Hurt Locker, I guess.
I would go with Up, or you know, if it cut some of the fat out of there, Inglourious Basterds, maybe.
Yeah.
I think A Serious Man was good because it went over my head. It was too smart for me. Too smart.
I think I'll give Quentin Tarantino, the director.
And Up, the writing. I'll give
Up the original screenplay. Yeah.
I'll take that.
Who could have written that? That was just so cute. Like, that was just so precious.
Bob Peterson and P. Doctor did.
Oh, yes. Good job, guys. It was beautiful.
Cinematography. We have Avatar, Mario Fiore, Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, Bruno Del Bono.
So good.
Hurt Locker, Barry Aykroyd, and Glorious Bastards, Robert Richardson, and The White Ribbon, Christian Berger.
Well, I don't know what The White Ribbon is at all, but I do have to say Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince was, I think, the best looking one out of all of them.
Oh, okay. Nice.
And it was like, they really were at the peak of their like quality, like cinematography, lighting, composition. Like they were really, it was all the way there.
They were in their bag, is what you're saying.
They really were. Like the what? Go ahead.
The White Ribbon was black and white.
So it might have been that one.
Avatar won, and that makes sense.
Yeah.
For what it was. But Hurt Locker shouldn't even be here. Like, get out of here.
I understand it, but I feel like it's sometimes, this is one of those cases where it might just be like the technical device, the shaky cam really did it for them. Not because it was
of the time, yeah.
Right. Not because it was, you know.
Well, if we're gonna do that, I feel like District 9 should be in here because their cinematography in District 9 actually was good to me.
So I would kick out the Hurt Locker and give it to District 9, and then District 9 would have probably won for me.
Oh, okay.
Either District 9 or Half-Blood Prince, honestly.
And I think a lot of people are like, I don't know why, but Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince is my favorite one. And I'm like, it's because it looks great. It's
visually beautiful. Well, it's visually like, stunning.
You have to remember that we're educated in movies. So, like, you know, the average Joe Schmo doesn't understand why this movie looks
like, oh, it's so pretty. Yeah. And, like, Inglourious Losers did have great cinematography. But I don't know. I just feel like District 9, if we're thinking about it within the context, you exist within the context of everything that's come before. I can't. I've heard that so many times. Within the context of the time period, I'd say District 9. And if we took off the, like, the bias against, like, oh, what do you call it? Franchise shit, then it might have been Harry Potter.
Well, I know it's not in here, but my winner probably would be A Single Man, because that movie was beautiful.
It is beautiful. Oh, it is beautiful.
God, it's amazing. Oh, man. Please watch that movie. Please.
I gotta rewatch it. I haven't rewatched it as, like, an adult. I feel like it would hit even better now.
Okay, original score. We have Avatar from James Horner, Fantastic Mr. Fox from Alexandre Desplat, Up from Michael Giacchino, The Hurt Locker, Marco Beltrami and Buck Sanders, and Sherlock Holmes, Hans Zimmer.
Get that Hurt Locker shit out of here. Are you joking me? What kind
of... Not even close. Not even close, Marco, to the other one.
No.
Get
out. Not even close.
Even Sherlock Holmes has a really, really great score.
Like, there's no beating up because Marco Giacchino's go forever, but, like, No.
You heard her. She said no.
This nomination feels like they were just kind of like filling the spots in,
rounding it out.
Hurt Locker. You're like, they didn't even know. Like, because I listened to it and I was like, this is what you nominated for? Ugh, whatever. Don't know.
Yeah.
What would I replace it with? I don't.
A Single Man.
Yeah. That's just a better movie.
I feel like the music in A Serious Man was good too.
Actually, yes, it was.
It would have been A Serious Man for me. So if I had to do one
that's more best picture-esque type movie, A Serious Man.
Yeah.
There, I'll take that.
Film editing. Sorry.
Or you know what? Sorry. I know you. I just remembered. Also, another great score that year: Star Trek, also by Michael Giacchino. That was fantastic. Put that in place of Hurt Locker.
Okay. Yes. Okay, film editing. We had Avatar, District 9, The Hurt Locker, Inglourious Basterds, and Precious.
Well, it's only in here because it's a war movie.
Should have been District 9.
It should have.
Can you remind me who won? Because, again, I'm in dark.
The Hurt Locker did. It won.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly right. I have a star there. I know that. I'm stupid. Yeah,
it won film editing, and I'm like, why? It should have been.
Yeah.
District 9.
Honestly, I'd take any of them over The Hurt
Locker. Fair. Honestly, I really like editing and Precious, to be fair, but...
I think the editing and Precious
I don't think it deserved a win, but I would take it over Hurt Locker.
Well, yeah, fair.
I'd put it in the category because it was... it did something.
Again, A Single Man should be here. That's my best picture winner. Single Man's my best picture.
I love that that's your champion this year. It's so great.
Apparently I love gay love stories too, I guess.
Yay! We did it, kids. We did it.
They gotta be sad.
They gotta be sad.
Oh,
God. Yeah, they do.
Well, beautiful, beautifully sad, you know?
Artistically sad. We have to be breaking up very beautifully.
Yes. Sound mixing. We have Avatar, The Hurt Locker, Inglourious Basterds, Star Trek, Transformers, Revenge of the Fallen.
Transformers sounds amazing every time, so I would go with Transformers.
I mean, me too. Or even Star Trek. Like, I know that movies get all these sound awards because, like, you know, boom, boom, you know, blow pew, up, pew, pew, whatever. But, like, Star Trek had that. There was bombs and there were guns.
And they're not traditional sounds.
Right, which is even more complex. And Transformers, how the fuck do you make a car go
just like that? Yeah.
Okay, they used that sound.
Are you a Foley artist? They just
chopped and screwed
it. You a Foley artist? Wow, amazing. I do follow this girl. I forgot her name on TikTok, and she's a Foley artist, and I love watching her videos because it's so cool.
Sound editing, Avatar, The Hurt Locker, Inglourious Bastards, Star Trek, and Up. We promise by next season to have watched that sound documentary, so we feel like we have a little bit more to talk about here.
Yeah, sorry.
It's on our list. We'll get there.
We will.
Yeah, sorry. Anything but Hurt Locker.
Yeah.
Honestly, I didn't even watch Star Trek, and I know that's better.
Because you mean you tell me the Hurt Locker won best sound editing and sound mixing? Girl, get out.
We like our bombs to sound good.
Maybe Avatar for this? I don't know. I feel like Avatar should get something for sound because it did.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, because those sounds were like of the forest and of like creatures who aren't real. Oh, okay, yeah. Fine. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
So that's it for nominations for the Hurt Locker. Before we move on to wrapping up our thoughts of the season.
Wait, no. Did we do Jeremy Renner?
Yeah, we did.
Okay, I'm sorry. Blinked.
Yeah, we already shot on him, so it's good.
I blacked out on it. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
There is one note that I forgot to talk about, and that is the only thing I knew about this movie going into it. My favorite reference of this movie is in the musical Hedwig and the Angry Inch. So, 2000, what year was that? 14, I believe. Neil Patrick Harris did Hedwig and the Angry Inch on Broadway with Lena Hall. Wonderful production. Blew my mind. In the theater, the story is that Hedwig wrote all of these great, amazing songs, and their boyfriend stole them and is now a rock star performing all the songs. And so Hedwig is like following the tour to be like, this is the actual story. And so the story is that they got this theater for cheap because the musical that was there closed suddenly because it was a box office fail, flopped. So you walk in and you kind of see remnants of the staging and the sets, and there's paper strewn all over for a fake playbill for The Hurt Locker, the musical.
Oh my God.
And so in the show, in between songs, Hedwig is like just talking to the audience and telling the story, and they tell the story of how they got the Belasco Theater, and it's because The Hurt Locker, the musical, closed, and they found some sheet music, and so they decide to perform a bit of a song. So Lena Hall sings When the Towers Fell.
Yikes.
And it's hilarious. It's beautiful. Oh, I thought it... God. But they talk about it being a love story. So I went into this thinking there was going to be some kind of love story. And I thought it was going to be between Jeremy Renner and
Anthony Mackie.
Evangeline Lilly.
Oh, she was in this movie.
Yeah, I thought she was going to be on the team and like be a part of this. That was not what this movie was at all. Because literally the lyrics are like, we found sanctuary in the Hurt Locker. Love can be scary in the Hurt Locker. It's tender and it's raw.
Love can be scary.
It's very funny.
Oh, my God.
So, anyway, that's my favorite thing about this movie is that bit in Hedwig and the Angry Inch.
I know it's not the same thing, but it reminds me of, which is an actual musical, Diana the Musical.
Oh, my God.
There's an entire song about the dress called The Dress, I think. It sounds like a parody, but like it's on Netflix, like it's real.
Look, when Broadway's good, it's good, and when it's campy, it is campy.
That show is campy,
and when it's bad, it's bad.
Did you like it? Did you watch it, right?
I've never seen it.
Diana the Musical.
Yeah, did you watch Diana the
Musical? I listened to the soundtrack before I watched it. The soundtrack is like, I thought it was a joke. I was like, oh, no, they're real. Oh, this is real. Okay. Okay. I love Diana down forever. So like I'll watch pretty much anything that features Diana. This was before like the last couple seasons of The Crown. So I was like, oh, this is so much.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
Like, I think The Crown washed it out of my brain for the most part. But yeah, that song about the dress is really great. I need to relearn the songs because I haven't listened to them in a long time.
I'm gonna go and listen to that. That sounds great.
Yeah.
Yeah. So listen to Hedwig and the Angry Inch and Diana the Musical.
Yeah, why not?
Hedwig is so good.
Have a good time.
So before we wrap up, any final thoughts on the season? Any notes? Any feelings?
What are your rankings?
Oh, yes. Rankings.
Ooh. Are we going to go through that?
Yes, Joy, you're first.
Okay. okay, so at number 10? It's 10, yes. Right? Okay, and number 10 is
count?
The Blind Side. I tried to count quickly, and then the numbers got lost. The Blind Side. 10, 10, 10s, not across the board. Number 9 is The Hurt Locker. Number 8 is A Serious Man. And then I have Avatar, Up in the Air, Inglourious Basterds, and Education, Precious, Up, and District 9. And I don't think any of them are interchangeable. I think I'm really set on this because it hasn't changed in like 2 cycles. I think this is it.
Nice.
Okay.
Yeah. Right.
Love that for you.
Mm-hmm.
Crystal, you want to go?
Sure. So at number 10, I have The Blind Side. 9 is where I have The Hurt Locker. Then I have A Serious Man because I still don't get it. 7, Avatar because Pocahontas was better. 6 was Precious because I was traumatic, but I never watched it again. I think I'm gonna be the same too. Yeah. 5 is an Education, 4 Up in the Air, 3 Up, 2 Inglourious Basterds, and 1 is District 9.
Ah.
Yeah.
I have down at the bottom for a sweep, The Blind Side.
The win- yeah. Loser.
Number 9, I have A the Serious biggest loser. Man. Number 8, I have The Hurt Locker. 7, Avatar. 6 is Precious. 5 is Up in the Air. 4 is District 9. And then my top 3 are Up, and then an Education. And the top is still Inglourious Basterds.
Wow.
I will be talking about this in therapy for years to come.
I know. It finally amazing. Happened.
Amazing. Can you believe we finally got to his filmography where it's actually, like, you know, good?
Yeah.
Decent.
Can you believe that we did another season of this?
That's amazing.
Like, wow, guys.
I mean, to be fair, Django Unchained was really good. While it had its problems, the good stuff was really good. Cinematography was great. The acting was great. It just had some issues. And I think, honestly, with all of his films, I don't think I'm ever not going to find any issues because I just know the kind of, like, thematic things that he goes for.
This might be the one you find the least issues with.
The least amount of issues with, yeah. Yeah.
He's an issue.
Yeah. As a person, yes. As an artist, okay, you are talented, I guess. You just are weird.
Can I read you some of the lyrics of The Dress from Diana the Musical?
Oh my God,
yes. Oh my God, please.
Yeah.
The chorus is, hell yes, who would have ever guessed? While a man makes a bloody mess, she steps out in a fuck you dress. A fucky, 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 fuck you dress.
That is a real, that's a real song.
This is real? Is this on Spotify? I'm gonna...
Yes, it
oh
is.
Oh my God.
And it's musical. I love musical theater.
This it's is like peak truly... musical theater.
I think we need to watch it together and just like absorb shit the on shot it. Together.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes. Really an yes. Elevated art form.
Wow.
It's just...
Wow.
Yeah. What about a way to impress than show a flash of flesh?
Oh.
How about
hey.
A fuck the dress? Yeah. It's like freak 'em dress, but for white people, basically. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh my God. That's so good.
All right, wow. Folks. This has been quite a season.
Yes, it
yeah.
has.
Yeah. So much shit.
We're entering a different era of Oscar nominations come the next season. The 5
nominees.
We cannot wait to be back on your airwaves. Thank you for listening. Thank you Yay. For sticking with us.
Yeah.
We love you. Tweet us in the meantime.
Have a good
Woo.
Day.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.